good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. We thank God for each and every one of you who continue to tune in. We thank you. It is a blessing and it's a miracle. And I really mean that. We know that favor comes from God. And so many of you, you tune in and we thank you for that. You can go to many other places, but thank you for joining us on Wednesday for Bible study. Now let's get right to it. Our Bible study lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 42, verses 6 through 25. Genesis chapter 42, verses 6 through 25. And our lesson topic for the day is haunted by shame. Haunted by shame. And I say that with a question mark. Haunted by shame. Amen. Let's get right into our lesson for today. We thank the Lord again for all that he continues to do. We continue in the story, the saga of Joseph, one of the younger sons of Jacob. Of course, we know that God moved Joseph from the pit, amen, all the way to, bless his heart, from the pit to Potiphar's house, then to the prison, now to the palace. And of course, we stopped on last week after we heard that grand suggestion coming through Joseph as to who Pharaoh should choose in order to oversee the dream or actually the outcome of the dream that he had been presented as God had blessed him. He says, you're going to need somebody to oversee all of that. And of course, we praise God. We know that he chose Joseph and we know how the story ended there, how God blessed him with a wife. And then after that, he had two children and he named the children after those given periods in his life. Manasseh, of course, forget. And then we've got fruitful Ephraim. But again, now here we are this many years later and Joseph is the prime minister. And look at God. Look at how God is getting ready to turn the table on the sons of Jacob. So we get right into our lesson for today. And we know, let me help you to know that by the time you get to verse number 6 in chapter 42, there had been a famine in the land. Everything that God showed Joseph by way of interpreting that dream, Pharaoh's dream, had come to pass. And let me just state this. You know, many, I hear people talk about that they have the gift of prophecy and they're prophets and all this kind of thing. Let me help you understand how that really works. You will know a prophet based upon the outcome of their prophecy. The Bible even speaks of that. You know if the dreamer is an interpreter of dreams based upon what God shows you and then what is produced after that. All right. So it's important to know that. So God had given Joseph this gift, that gift of dream interpretation had gotten him in trouble and it had gotten him out of trouble. So as is our practice, I will read verse number 6 and I will read all of our verses. Then we will exegete or interpret them after we read them. In verse number 6, the word of God says, Genesis 42, beginning of verse 6, the word says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph was now the governor. He was the prime minister. He was second only to Pharaoh. God had placed him in that lofty position. just as he had showed him. But again, Joseph had to go through some things. Y'all remember Joseph, the son who had the coat of many colors. He was brash. He was cocky. He was arrogant. He was a tattletale, but God had to break him down. And God allowed his brothers, if you would, to sell him into slavery. Actually, some of the brothers really wanted to kill him. But he was sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. And then in turn, they took him, sold him into slavery at Egypt. And he became, if you would, the chamberlain, the overseer at Potiphar's house. You know what happened? Potiphar's wife wanted to have sexual relations with him. He resisted her, ran away. She tore a piece of his garment. He ended up, she lied on him. Then he ended up in prison, and he had been in prison for several years after that, a few years after that. And then, of course, you know about the baker and the king, Pharaoh's chamberlain. And Joseph interpreted that dream, and he told the chamberlain, look, man, don't forget about me. Chamberlain forgot about him for two more years. God was still working on that brother. God was still working in his life. But God shows up right on time, because when there was nobody to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, the chamberlain said, I know a guy. He was in prison with me, and he can interpret the dream. And of course, God used Joseph. Joseph interpreted that dream, and now here he is. He's the governor over the land. And watch this. He was the one placed in charge of buying, selling, and in this particular position, he was selling the grain to those who had need of it. That says to us that the famine had not been prolonged, that it was early on in the famine. How do you know that? Because people still had the means to purchase the grain, as opposed to him having to give it away at this particular period and point. They brought their money so that they could purchase the grain. But even in that, he was given the managerial authority to where he could pick and choose who he wanted to sell the grain to. It shows God. If there's anybody listening to me right now, and you have found yourself, amen, coming out of some mess, coming out of a pit, and God is delivering you, and God is placing you now in a position of authority, I just need to say, don't forget where you came from. Amen. Because the same God that helped you to recover, the same God that brought you out of the pit, the same God that brought you out of prison, the same God that brought you out of that mess, that lie, is the same God who can deliver you, bless you, amen, empower you. But if you forget where you came from, he can also take it away from you. So here you have Joseph, this foreign dignitary, and the Bible says that his brothers, look here, out of nowhere. What a surprise that must have been for him, because he really had to think that he would never see his brothers again. And then here you have, out of nowhere, here they come, and the scripture says they are bowing themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Y'all know that brother, remember, don't you, the dreams that he had. Hey, man. And in that dream, you have the sheaves. Y'all remember that? You had the grain where the sheaves of grain that was stacked up tall, where they would all bow down to the one bunch of sheaves. And of course, it was him. It was a younger brother. He had told them that this was going to happen. And then he dreamed another dream, remember, to where he talked about the stars, where the stars were bowing down to him. Even the sun and the moon, which mean mom and daddy, were even coming and bowing to him. And here it is, these many years later. Now, this is longer than 13 years. So this was probably almost 20 years later. It came to pass. We want God to do things in our time, don't we? Yes, you do. You know, you want God to give you that house right now. You want God to give you that car right now. You want God to give you that man, that woman, that mate right now. But you know what I've learned is that when you don't go through some things, cry some tears. Hello, somebody. Let God kind of take you and twist you. He'll bend you, but not break you. Allow the adversary to do some things to you. Amen. Not to kill you, not to hurt you, but to make you better. Help you to appreciate where your help is coming from. And if you appreciate where your help's coming from, then you will also be that person who will look back over their life and reach down and pick somebody else up. He allows us to go through some of the junk that we go through because God knows us. I know Michael Evans. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Let me tell you right now, there are some times that I say, God, you know what? Am I that messed up to where this has to happen to me? That has to happen to me in order for you to make me to be a humble individual? But let me tell y'all something now. And I know this might be a little paranoid, but when things start going real well for me, amen, sometimes it seems like I'm looking for when is the next shoe going to drop? When is the next hole going to come? Well, I drop in the thing. So I find myself now humbling myself. Whereas back in the day, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you know, I'd be thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips. But now I say, God, I want to thank you for everything that you've allowed to happen in my life. I want to thank you. Even when my children, they do great things and God's doing extraordinary things to them. I'm getting to the place now where almost like Job, I give an offering. I give something on their behalf just in case they forgot to do it. Amen. Because I know what life looks like when the table turns on you. And here's a situation where the very people that sold that young brother into slavery now are bowing down to him. I'm going to tell you one more thing, then I'm going to move on to verses 7 and 8. My grandmother, my grandparents, they taught me on both sides, my paternal and maternal. They always said, be careful, baby. Be careful how you climb up that ladder. Be careful as to how you treat people on your way up. Because those very same people that you may have misused or abused or talked about or overlooked are the very same people that you might need to help your behind up. Amen. When you get down in the ditches in life. Because what goes up, y'all do know every now and then, it must come down. So here you have God turning the tables of life on the sons of Jacob. Verses 7 and 8 says, and when Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Look here, Joseph's appearance had so changed. Let me tell you why it changed. His appearance changed. He knew them, but they didn't know him. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Let me break this down to you. You go through enough in life and it'll change your countenance as well. It will change your appearance also. You know, I hear people say, and it's true, and I'm glad I'm one of those brothers. You know, I'm so glad that I don't look like what I've been through. Amen. Some of you listening today, aren't you glad that you don't look like what you've been through? Amen. Then there's some folk, I mean, you know, we had a hard life and we're looking like it. But listen, and I'm not being funny. I mean every bit of it. But you know what? Let me tell you something. God still has kept you through all of that. Amen. And watch this. The Bible says that he knew them, but they didn't know him. Aren't you glad, y'all, that God has delivered you from whatever it was that wasn't right, from whatever it was that you was doing and you knew wasn't the right thing to do, but he can send you back out there. And God has so changed your life to where some of the very people that you ran with, they don't really recognize you. They don't recognize your character. They don't recognize you by the way you talk. Amen. Cause you ain't cussing like a sailor, like you used to when you're out there, your lips not, amen, smoky black from that stuff you smoke, your eyes not beaded up red, amen. You don't have that drunk man's demeanor because God fixed you up, God cleaned you up, God has made you up to where the very folk who used to be down in the gutter with you, hello, they don't even recognize you now. Why? Just like with Joseph, because God took him through enough to where he cleaned him up, he shaved him up, his appearance was different. As a matter of fact, this brother was the prime minister. He was now looking like the Egyptians who he had been hanging around. It's a lesson in that. Don't look at that in the negative. When God takes you out of the world and God allows you to come in, amen, under the ark of safety, and now you with other folk who've been brought in under the ark of safety, they're saved and you're saved, and you got a brand new song to sing. You're living a brand new life. You start looking like the very people you've been hanging around. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I look different. I shout now and I ain't scared. I ain't bothered. I'm not embarrassed by it everywhere. As a matter of fact, you catch me. If you catch me in a situation where I might be in a boardroom somewhere, I might be at City Hall, I might be at the school board, I might be at Tarrant County College, but when I look back over my life and think about all the things that God has done for me, I'm sorry. I don't care who's in the room. I'm not trying to be bougie. I'm not trying to hold my nose up, amen, like I don't see you. But if it hit me at the right time, I'm going to shout. And if you catch me in dialogue, I might holler amen. Because God takes us out of our mess and he transforms our countenance. Verses 7 and 8, he transformed his countenance. But watch this. The Bible says he made himself strange unto them. He did not make them know who he was. So he acted his part for a little while. He was playing a role for a little while. And the scripture says he spoke roughly unto them. Now hold up. Now, Joseph was not Jesus. I need to say that. Amen. Joseph was not Jesus. As a matter of fact, Joseph really is verse 7 and 8. Joseph is really acting like some of us would act. And I'm not going to say y'all. Let me go and say me. See, because if you sold me into slavery, if you stripped me of my identity, amen, if you told daddy that I was dead, if I heard you talking about how you wanted to kill me, and then you sent me, it seemed like I went through all of this hell that I've gone through because of the way you treated me. When I saw you for the first time, I might not be right in the head either. Amen. I would need the Holy Spirit of God to help. If you cut me, if you stole from me, if you mistreated somebody in my life, the humanity comes out every now and then and we poke out our lip. Amen. We talk to you crazy. Y'all know I'm talking about Christian people right now. We'll talk to you crazy. No, you were the ones. So that's what you see in verses 7 and 8, y'all. Amen. Don't explain it away. The humanity. This man was hurt to his core. Amen. Any of y'all ever been hurt to your core? The people that mistreat you, then want to run up in your face and grin at you and want to run up and ask you for some money, want to run up. Hey, they forgot everything that they did to you. They talked about you like a dog. And now that they need you, they going to come and act like ain't nothing happened. Hello, somebody. Verses 7 and 8 says, however, that he knew them, but they didn't know him. I say this to young people. I say this to my boys as they were growing up in the church. I say, be careful how you act in the public, because you don't ever know who knows you. You don't know everybody, but you better know that there's some folk out there who know you, and you don't know that they know you. I've learned that as a pastor. Amen. I can't act certain ways even when I'm out in the public. I can't show up at certain places because you don't know who knows you. Amen. I bet you got that point. Did y'all get that point? Let me go to verse number 9. In verse number 9, the scripture says, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come. Wait, hold up, Doc. Amen. In verse number 9, the Bible says, see, I told y'all, the Bible says that Joseph, he remembered the dreams. I know he remembered the dreams because he had the dreams and he interpreted the dreams and he shared the dreams. And here the dream came true. Here I am after all that I've been through. Finally, the dream comes to life. It's a reality now. These brothers are bowing. Amen. The big brothers are bowing before the little brother. Hello, somebody. Little brother has everything that they need. Big brother, they don't even know who he is, but he remembered who they were. And then he falsely accuses them. He says, I know why y'all came. Amen. All these people. Can y'all see, get the scene? You got all these people in line. Amen. And you've seen some of that on TV. People in line, you know, trying to get groceries, trying to get help. Here all these people are. And then you've got, y'all, how you going to pick us out, me and my brothers, and call us spies? I mean, we ain't done nothing to anybody. Amen. He said, no, y'all are spies. And you come to spy out the land. You came, part of verse 9, you came to see the nakedness of the land that you've come in. In other words, you came to see where our weak spots are, our weak points. So you come here like you need food, but really you just spying us out to see how you can invade the Egyptian Empire. Amen. You know the brothers were scared, don't you? Because what he accused them of, he accused them of being enemies. Watch this. And then in verse 7 and 8, he's loud talking them. Amen. Y'all know that? Y'all remember? I mean, maybe that's an old term, but one of the things that used to just go all over people was that when somebody loud talk you. You remember when people loud talk you? They loud talk you, you know, in public. They want you to look bad. You know, get away from me. And you say, hey, hold up now. You know, they start loud talking. You ain't all you think you. Hold up. Wait a minute. They start loud talking. He started loud talking them and said, y'all are spies. Now, you know what? You already know that when he said that, since he was the governor, the prime minister, he had some guards with him. Y'all know that. So when he said that, you know, they stood to attention. Amen. You know, they got ready. They got ready to do something to somebody. You understand that, don't you? So get the scenery. Catch that. You got Joseph sitting in his big chair. These brothers bowed down. You got guards to the left, guards to the right. And they probably looking at them like, we getting ready to get us somebody. Verse number 10 says, and they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. In other words, no, man, we just come to buy some food, sir. Verse number 11, we are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. In other words, what they're saying is, look, we all belong to the same daddy. And they say we are true men. In other words, we are who we say we are. We're not coming to cause any trouble. Really, we just want some food. We're not spies. And he said unto them, this is Joseph, says unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. He said, don't lie to me. I know I can see it in you. I smell you. You coming. You trying to run something. You trying to overthrow our empire. These brothers are saying like, Lord, what in the world? So here they are explaining themselves. Verse number 13. And they said, thy servants, we are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. Joseph did not know whether they were remorseful at all. And you're going to see this in some of the later verses, whether they were remorseful at all about the loss of a brother. In other words, he was not expecting them to mention Benjamin, because he's the youngest. He was younger than Joseph. And as a matter of fact, he was alive, by the way, but he was a younger child when Joseph was sold into captivity. So hear this. So Joseph knew, of course, that he had a smaller brother, Benjamin, from his mother, Rachel, because it was only two of them that came from Rachel. Rachel died around chapter 35. But notice what they did. They said, no, we are this man's sons. It's 12 of us, and one of our brothers is no longer with us. Now think about that. They did not have to mention at all that they had a brother who they thought was deceased. What I'm saying is, you can already tell that they had guilt or guilty minds. You can tell that they had not put to rest their misdeed. I want that to sink in. I want that to sink in. When you belong to God, now keep in mind, each of these men are leaders, y'all, of the 12 tribes of Israel. Are y'all listening to me? But the 12 tribes had not come into their full strength yet. These were the progenitors, the starting points. These were the founders of the 12 tribes. Are you listening, if I'm making any sense to you? Which means that for God to own them or to claim them, they then too had to be worshipers, believers in the one God. When you are a believer in the one God, your conscience is not going to let up on you, is not going to allow you to do bad, to do wrong, to do a misdeed and not repent of that misdeed. It's not going to allow you to mistreat somebody and sleep at night like everything's okay. It's not going to allow you to do wrong and then forget it so quickly. You can see here that these men were bearing a burden that had been on them for an extended period of time. How do you know, preacher? Verse 13 says, they knew, they didn't have to divulge all of this information, but they said, we've got one brother who is gone. He's dead. He is not. Verse 14 says, and Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. So let me read this right. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, you're spies. Amen. Joseph is saying, y'all lying. You're spies. Amen. Keep in mind, y'all, they were in a vulnerable position. They had told everything about themselves, and they told the truth. But Joseph is going on. Joseph continues to say, y'all lying. I know why you're here. And then verse 15 and 16 says, hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. And ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. In other words, he swore by the life of Pharaoh that y'all gonna die today. If I detect, if you can't prove what you just said, you're gonna die. Watch this. I'm gonna throw you in prison like I was thrown in prison, but of course for a much longer period of time. But I'm gonna let you feel what I felt. I'm gonna let you feel what I felt. I'm gonna let you feel the anguish of being torn away from your family. I'm gonna let you feel, if you would, the anguish of being thrown into prison. I'm gonna let you see what it feels like not knowing whether you're gonna live the next day. I want y'all to feel exactly what I felt. That's what you get, y'all. That's what you get in these verses. That's what you get in these verses, 15 and 16. And then in 17, he says, and he put them all together inward 3 days. He threw them all into jail, y'all. He threw all of them into prison, because y'all do know it's a difference between jail and prison. I try to tell these young bucks, you know, these young brothers, they say, oh, they go down to county. You know, that ain't nothing. They go down there, put on a little jumpsuit and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, or Roman noodles. Hello, somebody, when you got some money on your book. That ain't nothing like prison. Amen. When you go to the state pen, it ain't the same as being down at the county courthouse. Hello, somebody. When you go to the pen, it's a harder life. Are y'all with me? And I'm not even going into some of the gory details, but it's a little different. Some of you brothers are listening to me, because I know that we also share these DVDs with our brothers and sisters who are in prison. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And mama tried to keep you, daddy tried to keep you, or at some point maybe you didn't have the help or support, but now you know that life can be better, and you find yourself in a situation that you're in. And here we are in this verse where you hear the brother, the Bible says in verse 17, he put him in the prison for 3 days. 3 days, 3 days. Verse 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. He's saying to them, now I told y'all what I want you to do. Go get your younger brother and prove that you're not spies, and I won't kill you or have you executed, because I fear God. Now, in this particular case, y'all see the big G. Amen. Now, they didn't know Joseph. But one thing that we know about Joseph is the fact that Joseph was a man of God. I'm not talking about Ra, and I'm not talking about Osiris. No, Joseph continued to be a worshiper and believer in the one God. Amen. Elohim, in the one God. Are y'all with me? In the one God. Yeah. His wife was married to a priest of Ra. Hello. However, this man was still a worshiper of the one true God. And he says, I know that I've got to treat you right. I know that I've got to give you a chance because I fear God. In other words, he's saying, if I don't treat you right, then I'm going to be in trouble with God. Listen, that's a lesson there, y'all, because no matter how badly we were mistreated by somebody, God still holds us responsible for the way in which we treat them. Wait a minute, Pastor. It ought to be an eye for an eye. Well, here's the problem. If everything's an eye for an eye, we'll all be dead. Amen. We are living off of grace and mercy right now. But Pastor, they raped me. Pastor, they abused me. Pastor, they committed adultery in our relationship. Pastor, hey, you know what? I'm not arguing with you. I'm not mad at you. I hear you. All I'm saying is, no matter how badly you were mistreated, God holds you responsible for the way in which you conduct yourself. Amen. It was like fighting with siblings. For those of you who had siblings, if mom and daddy caught us all fighting, all of us were going to get a butt whooping. Amen. But if mama saw you hit me and I don't hit you back, mama going to jack you up, not me. Amen. Don't make God have to whoop you and them too, because you are trying to get revenge on them. Romans is clear. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God says, and I will repay it. I know that you might not like that, but that's the truth here. And those are the truths in verse number 18. Verse number 19, he says, if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your house. Lord, have mercy. So what he's saying is, only one brother, rather than all nine of y'all. So what we'll do is, I'll hold back one brother like for ransom. And y'all go and fetch the other one. Go get the other one like I told you to in the first place. But watch this. Scripture says that he at least gave them what they came for, because Joseph is looking at the bigger picture. He recognized that there was a famine in the land. He knew that they were coming to get food for the whole family. All right? So he says, I'm going to hold one of you back. I'm going to give you grain. So what's the point? Joseph was still thinking about his folks. He was still thinking about his family. He still had their overall well-being in mind. Y'all, when there are disputes in your family, because that's all this is. This is a family feud. I don't care how bad off y'all get. I'm talking to brothers and sisters right now, or two brothers, or folk who have cousins, and y'all acting a fool with each other. At some point, you're going to have to get over whatever the disagreement was about. Don't miss me. And you're doing it, look at verse number 19. You're doing it for the sake of the whole family. See, because y'all are brothers and sisters. Y'all are 60, daggum near 70 years old. You've got kids and your kids have kids. And you're going to poison your family with some old, bitter poison, misunderstandings, undercutting, wrongdoing that you did to each other. You're going to mess up your kids' kids. If one of you don't have enough God in you to say, you know what? I forgive you. And really mean it. And the other one stop acting ignorant and say, and you now let me understand, let me help you. I'm talking to people who know God, because for folk who don't know God, for people who are not believers, that other one can say, I'm sorry and forgive, but they've got so much devil in them to where they are not going to accept the apology. But for those of you in the family who are praying people, you need to go help that one, because you don't want that one's soul to be lost. You need to say to that one, I'm sorry, I messed up. We were wrong for casting them out. We're going to let them back in because we mistreated them, and then they cussed us out and it became a big old mess. You got to show that you believe that you are, that you have the best interest of the whole family in mind as opposed to your individual feelings. Amen. Verse number 19. Amen. Verse number 19. I'm going to give you corn to carry for the famine to your houses. Your folk are sick. We got the problem here because y'all are the ones that did to me what you did to me. But daddy and the rest of the folk back home still need food. So I'm going to send y'all back with some food, but I'm going to keep one of you here. But I'm at least going to give you what you came for so that they can have food to eat so that they won't die. All I'm saying is, y'all, when you got these family mishaps, the mess going on in the family, when you falling out with one another, ain't calling the other one, not inviting them to the family meeting, not inviting them to the family reunion, not inviting them to the Zoom meeting, you are hurting your whole family. Verse number 20. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they did so. And they did so. That's self-explanatory. I'm going to hold this one back. Amen. I'm going to keep this one brother. I'm going to hold him back. But they did what they said. And they brought that other brother, the younger brother. But watch this. While they were going, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress upon us. What they're saying in verse number 21 is this: God is paying us back because of what we did. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 tells us more about what happened than Joseph did himself. Verse 21, it said, they said, it primarily it was probably Reuben. Reuben said, I told y'all not to hurt that boy. He said, I told y'all not to do. And you heard him cry. Can't you hear the little brother begging? Don't y'all do me like this. Please come back. Please, y'all, they're going to kill me. Please. Can't you hear your brother pleading? But they hated him so bad to where they closed their ears on their brother. Y'all, let me tell you something. It's a bad day. It's a bad day when you don't care how your siblings feel. It's a bad day when you don't care what you're doing to the family. It's a bad day. Satan has gotten hold of me. If I cannot be sympathetic to one of my brothers or my sisters, I don't care how bad off they are, they're still my brother and they're still my sister. Amen. Amen. I don't care. I mean, they could have robbed me of every dime that I had. They could have been the cause of me losing my job. They could have been the cause of my house breaking up. But it's a bad day when you can't hear the anguish in your brother. And let me show you. I can see that they really did feel remorseful. Because here you've got the brother saying, God's getting us back. That's what he's saying. He says in the second part of verse 21, therefore is this distress come upon us. We are in this situation because of what we did. In other words, they were still carrying the guilt from what they did almost 20 years ago. Don't you want to be set free? Lord, who am I talking to? Don't you want to be set free? When was the last time you called your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your kinfolk? Don't you want to be set free? Pastor Evans, they don't. No. Don't you want to be set free? But they did me wrong, Reverend. I got that. But don't you want to be set free? How do I get set free? Give it to God. You stop trying to carry it. It's too heavy for you. Give it to God. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. And verse 22, and Reuben answered them saying, spake I not unto you saying, do not sin against the child? And you will not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Y'all, we getting payback. Verse 23, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. See, they didn't know that this prime minister, because they didn't know it was Joseph. They didn't know that not only did he speak fluent Egyptian, but he also spoke their language. Duh, because he came from them. You know, they thought that they could speak in another language. You ever been in a situation like that where folks stop speaking in English and start speaking in a foreign language? And then when one of y'all say, hey, I know that language. I heard what you called me. It just blows people's mind. In this particular case, they didn't know that Joseph understood them because Joseph was playing the role. Joseph had that interpreter. He was playing that role with them. And he turned himself about from them and he wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. That's who they made stay back, the second born. Reuben was the firstborn. Simeon was the second born. Now watch this. Joseph didn't know that they were guilty, that they felt guilty about what they did to him. Joseph didn't know whether they gave thought to what they did. But Joseph heard them. And Joseph heard how they say, God's getting us today. We're in trouble. We're going to die today because of what we did. Notice what it says to the child. He was a baby under them. And the text says that Joseph cried. And he had to get himself together and finish playing the role. Amen. But when you read these verses, 20, 21, 22, haunted by shame. Y'all see where we get the lesson title from? Those brothers were ashamed of what they did. Amen. Joseph wept. Final verse. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. First of all, they didn't know. And read 25 closely. Joseph now heard how they really felt, knew that they were remorseful. So he didn't even take their money, but he didn't let them know it. So he gave them everything that they asked for, gave them their money back, and sent them on their way. Thus he did it unto them. That's important. He didn't do it unto Jacob, his daddy. But Joseph now showed them, they didn't even know it now, but he showed them, I forgive you, man. They didn't know it. Joseph, when he cried, that burden of anger was lifted. He was no longer responsible for the way they treated him. Hear me now. He let him off the hook. Right here in verse 25, he let him off the hook. I don't know what this lesson, I don't know who this is for. I don't know who this is for. I don't know who's listening today, looking today. I don't know who you need to share this with, email this to. I really don't know. We're going to pray for you today. That after you have experienced God, God's word in chapter 42, that you are a little lighter. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the power that is in your word. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing this earthen vessel, this weak vessel, this toe up, toe down vessel, Lord God, to be used by you. Some way, somehow, Father in heaven, you're speaking into the life of somebody. I pray, God, that you will embolden them to share this with their friend, their loved one, their brother, their sister, their kin, their cousin, their friend, or share it with the people who they know is and are going through some of the same drama. May this word be used to edify, to correct, to reprove and rebuke. But also, Lord God, to glorify your name. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. See you next Wednesday if it is the will of God. May God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for being a part of our Bible study on this Wednesday.